RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, for listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, Today in History, Focus, Headlines, Newspaper, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Energy and Mineral Resources Minister, Indonesia to have equal positions in OPEC. Garuda Indonesia books increased profits. Vice President Yusuf Kalla celebrates his 73rd birthday in London. Now the news in details. Energy and Mineral Resources Minister Sudirman Said affirmed that President Joko Widodo had agreed with Indonesia's plan to rejoin the Organization of the Petroleum Exporting Countries, OPEC. According to Minister Sudirman, the plan had been proposed twice to the president. Minister Sudirman told reporters on Friday, May 15, 2015, that by joining OPEC, Indonesia will have an equal position with other oil-exporting countries and will gain early access to information related to oil compared to non-OPEC countries. He is confident that Indonesia will be allowed to join OPEC. Because although Indonesia is no longer an oil-exporting country, its status as one of the largest oil importers will provide a strong bargaining position in the global oil market. Sudirman also said that he would attend the OPEC meeting scheduled to be held on June 3 to June 4 in Vienna, where Indonesia will act as an observer. Indonesian flagship airline PT Garuda Indonesia has booked profits worth 161 billion rupiah, or around $12.4 million, on the first quarter of 2015. It was 107.5% higher compared to the same period in 2014. Garuda Indonesia CEO M. Arif Wibowo said that the increasing profit is a part of the airline's short-term strategy and improved efficiency. He added that operating revenue of Garuda Indonesia increased by 13.4%, reaching $927.3 million. in the first quarter of 2015. As for passengers' revenue, Arif claimed that Garuda has managed to gain a 10.6% increase, with a total value of $753.6 million. Moreover, domestic market for Garuda Indonesia has increased to 45% from 37% in the previous year, while the airline's international market also increased to 34% from the previous 21% in 2014. Vice President Yusuf Kalla celebrated his 73rd birthday at his daughter's house in Golders Green, London, England. He was in England to attend the Federation of Cocoa Commerce, or FCC, conference starting on Friday, as well as to meet with Standard Chartered Bank officials and to attend other events. Vice President Kalla's relatives in London were reported to be present at the party, as well as a number of Indonesian public officials, such as South Sulawesi's Governor Syahrul Yassin Limpo and West Sumatra Deputy Governor Muslim Kasim, as well as the Vice President's friends from several countries. The celebrations began with a prayer led by Indonesia Islamic Center Imam M. Hamim Sha'af. The celebration was held without much ceremony. Guests were reported to feast on mostly Makassar food, such as Coto Makassar, the seasoned meat broth, and songkolo, the glutinous rice dish. Meanwhile, during an official visit to London, Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla met with CEOs of leading companies in England, including Jordan Matheson, Standard Chartered, and Olam International at the Asia House on Thursday, May 14, 2015. Accompanying Vice President Yusuf Kalla were Indonesian Ambassador to United Kingdom Hamzah Tayeb, South Sulawesi Governor Syahrul Yassin Limpo, South East Sulawesi Governor H. Nur Alam, West Sulawesi Governor Anwar Adnan Saleh, and West Sumatra Governor Muslim Kasim. After attending a close meeting with the CEOs, Yusuf Kalla attended a luncheon hosted by Asia House, where UK's Trade and Investment Minister Francis Maude welcomed Indonesian delegations. Maude said that the UK government would help Indonesia by sharing experience in economic reform. Yusuf Kalla also elaborated Indonesia's recent economic development in front of 50 executives of major companies. The vice president revealed that the UK is among top 5 major investors in Indonesia. However, Yusuf Kalla expressed optimism with Indonesia's potentials as the middle-class population in Indonesia will grow in the future. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, in Jakarta. Secretary of Coordinating Ministry of Maritime Affairs, Asep Jembar Muhammad, said that his ministry is coordinating a research on algae as a resource for renewable energy. He pointed out at Jakarta Convention Center, GCC, South Jakarta on Friday, May 15, that previous research by the Agency for the Assessment and Application of Technology, BPPT, has shown that algae largely found in Indonesian waters bears high oil content. Nani Hendiarti, the Technology Utilization Executive of Maritime Ministry, said, "Research on algae as renewable energy resource has been performed for the last 3 to 4 years. The Bandung Institute of Technology, ITB, and Bogor Institute of Agriculture, IPB, have also taken part in the research." Nani said algae in Indonesia is mostly found in Java Sea, Kalimantan Strait, and Western Sumatra. The Islamic University of Indonesia, UII Yogyakarta, held Javanese shadow puppet show as a part of culture education in the campus. The show also marked the university's 72nd anniversary. Deputy Rector of UII, Ilya Fajar Maharika, said in Yogyakarta on Friday that it was different from the previous year. The Islamic University of Indonesia's 72nd anniversary was celebrated by holding shadow puppet, playing Makrifat Dewa Ruchi with Kintus Susmono as the puppeteers. The play depicted a trait of one of Pandawa figure Bhima, who always led by example. Such leadership by example was, according to Ilya, often forgotten today. Hundreds of audiences, including the Islamic University of Indonesia's academicians and surroundings residents, attended the event that was also enlivened by the performance of Yogyakarta artist Marwoto Kawer. Some 648 refugees from Bangladesh and Myanmar, whose ship was stranded off the coast of Aceh, have been temporarily sheltered at the port of Langsa at Langsa City on Friday. According to information on the ground, the refugees were found afloat on a junket on the Strait of Malacca, around 20 miles from Pusong District in Langsa, around 400 kilometers east of Banda Aceh. Langsa's immigration authority said that out of the 648 refugees that are currently being sheltered at Langsa, 418 are Bengali males, while the remaining 230 are Rohingyas from Myanmar, 113 of which are males, while the remaining 62 and 55 are females and children, respectively. It is known that the refugees are currently being treated through a joint operation by search and rescue SAR teams, police and Indonesian Armed Forces TNI, and Indonesian Red Cross PMI. Previously on Sunday, around 587 immigrants from Myanmar stranded at North Aceh Regency in Aceh, near the vicinity of Sunudong District, where their speedboat was beached. A strong earthquake measuring 6.1 on the Richter scale shook Bengkulu at dawn on Saturday, reportedly causing no damage or fatalities. According to the Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency, the quake hit the province at 3:26 a.m. and its epicenter was located 50 kilometers east of North Bengkulu. Antara News Agency reported on Saturday that there had been no damage to Putri Hijau District in North Bengkulu. Putri Hijau District Head Sabhudin said that residents woke up because of the strong quake, but no damage or fatalities have been found. Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency's Bengkulu Head Sudianto said the earthquake did not trigger a tsunami. Listener, that was the news from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuga Kusumawati.
Various important events that occurred this week are summarized in the press review collected from some newspapers published in Jakarta. We start from Kompas newspaper, The Daily Voice, Activate Bureaucracy. Indonesian President Joko Widodo complained about stamping regulations, which is judged complicated. Then the president warns to simplify it. As quoted by the Kompas Daily, the president's complaint is based on that the number of Echelon 1 and Echelon 2 have not been filled as a result of the merger of a number of ministries and nomenclature changes. Due to the empty position, the bureaucratic of the ministry cannot be moved even though the budget is already disbursed. The vacant position in Echelon 1 and Echelon 2 in a number of ministries have to be immediately filled. This is the homework that must be solved quickly by the government of President Joko Widodo and Vice President Yusuf Kalla. The wish of the president to the ministers so they work will be hampered if there are vacancies in Echelon 1 and Echelon 2, 3 and 4. However, according to Kompas, the vacancy in Echelon 1 and 2 could soon be filled, and bureaucratic machine can be immediately mobilized to realize a better Indonesia. Those selected are those who have the competence moving bureaucracy. The next press review comes from Tempo newspaper, The Daily Rights, First Step to Papua. Granting clemency to 5 Papuan political prisoners, as well as the statement that Papua is an open area for foreign journalists, is a step moving forward of President Joko Widodo's bravery and praiseworthy. However, the courage is not going to make Papua more secure, prosperous and peaceful if the president is not pocketing the right agenda. 6 governments since President Sukarno, one after another, but Papua remains as a province that is outside Indonesia. 6 governments since President Sukarno, one after another, but Papua seems remains as a province that is outside Indonesia. Since becomes part of the territory of the Republic of Indonesia on May 1, 1963, West Papua New Guinea, at the time, never stopped charming. Violence because of separatists, violations of human rights by security forces, as well as horizontal conflict, has become part of the life cycle of the Papuan people every day. According to Koran Tempo, it is clear that the militaristic approach to overcome the turmoil separatism indicates the state failed to make the Papuan people feel that they are citizens of Indonesia. Tempo newspaper writes, President Joko Widodo has swung steps to Papua, although still need to be tested. The public will remember how the president's order to put an end to the criminalization of KPK chairman was not complied with by the police. Therefore, the president's decisiveness is needed in building a better Papua. We conclude press review from Media Indonesia newspaper, The Daily Rights, toward energy independence. It has been too long in providing fuel in this country through imports is interfered by mafia. Oil mafia is allegedly in operation, one of which is a company named Pertamina Energy Trading Limited, alias Petrol. Media Indonesia writes, Petrol makes oil trade chain becomes longer. As a result, people do not buy the energy at a reasonable price. The governments may change many times, but the old mafia continued to grip the procurement of fuel oil in the country. Only when the government switched to President Joko Widodo and Vice President Yusuf Kalla, the state begins to show courage against oil mafia. The courage is seen when the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources set up a team of oil and gas anti-mafia team. Oil and Gas Anti-Mafia Team recommends the dissolution of Petrol, and the recommendation adopted by the Board of Directors of Pertamina official by dissolving Petrol. Petrol's dissolution would break the long chain of oil trading. However, according to Media Indonesia, Breaking the chain of oil import is just one step, and not the only step to achieve energy independence. There are still many steps that must be executed by Pertamina to reach energy independence. The construction of the refinery, exploration wells abroad, as well as the procurement of new and renewable energy is part of other steps to be taken by Pertamina in order to achieve the energy independence. Well, listener, that was Press Review.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, which features important events happening on this date in the past. We start from an event which happened on May 16, 1929, when the first Academy Awards was firstly presented. The first Academy Awards ceremony, presented by the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, or AMPAS, honored the best films of 1927 and 1928 and took place on May 16, 1929 at a private dinner held at the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel in Los Angeles, California. AMPAS President Douglas Fairbanks hosted the show. Tickets cost $5. 270 people attended the event, and the presentation ceremony lasted 15 minutes. Awards were created by Louis B. Mayer, founder of Louis B. Mayer Pictures Corporation, at present merged into Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. It is the only Academy Awards ceremony not to be broadcast either on radio or television. The award ceremony was first televised in 1953 and is now seen live in more than 200 countries. The Oscars is the oldest entertainment awards ceremony. Its equivalents, the Emmy Awards for television, the Tony Awards for theater, and the Grammy Awards for music and recording, are modeled after the Academy Awards. The Academy Awards are widely considered to be the most prestigious cinema awards ceremony in the world. And the next event was in 1975 when Junko Tabei became the first woman to reach the summit of Mount Everest. Junko Tabei is a Japanese mountain climber who, on May 16, 1975, became the first woman to reach the summit of Mount Everest. After a long training period, they began the expedition early in 1975 when they traveled to Kathmandu. There, they found 9 local Sherpa people to guide them. They used the same route Sir Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay took in 1953. In early May, the women were camping at 6,300 meters when an avalanche struck their camp. The women, including Junko and the guides, were buried under the snow. Tabei lost consciousness for approximately 6 minutes until her Sherpa guide dug her out. 12 days after the avalanche, Tabei became the first female to reach the summit of Mount Everest. And the last event was in 2003 when terror bombings occurred in Casablanca, Morocco. The 2003 Casablanca bombings were a series of suicide bombings on May 16, 2003 in Casablanca, Morocco. The attacks were the deadliest terrorist attacks in the country's history. 45 people were killed as a result of these attacks, 12 suicide bombers and 33 victims. The suicide bombers came from the Santi towns of Sidi Moumen, a poor suburb of Casablanca. The 14 bombers, most between 20 and 23 years old, bombed several places on the night of May the 16th. In all, 12 bombers died along with 33 civilians. 2 bombers were arrested before they could carry out attacks. More than 100 people were injured. 97 of them were Muslims. 8 of the dead were Europeans, 3 Spanish among them, and the rest were Moroccan. And listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus. Daily news and events.
Here is today's focus on Pertamina, the Sols Petrol. I'm Dalat Pane. The Indonesian oil and gas company PT Pertamina officially ceased the operations of its subsidiary PT Pertamina Energy Trading Limited, or Petrol. It was announced by Pertamina President Director Dwi Sucipto in Jakarta on Wednesday. In a press conference at the Ministry of State-owned Enterprises, Dwi asserted such a move would be preceded by financial and legal due diligence, as well as investigative audit to be conducted by independent auditors. Petrol business activities, especially with regard to export and imports of crude oil and refined products, will be entirely run by the Integrated Supply Chain, ISC, Pertamina. This decision makes all the rights and obligations of Petrol will be rectified or taken over by Pertamina, including all assets, will be taken as part of their state-owned enterprises. Petrol's dissolution is in accordance with the recommendation of Oil and Gas Governance Reform Team. The team was formed by President Joko Widodo through the Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources in November last year. The team, led by economic observer Faisal Basri, consisting of 11 people from various backgrounds, were proposed to the government to take over the authority procurement of Petrol to Pertamina via integrated supply chain. In the same occasion, the Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources, Sudirman Said, said one of the compelling reasons for the dissolution of Petrol is the Pertamina subsidiary is very closely related to the negative perceptions. There are many practices which are considered not transparent. He argued Petrol becomes a place for oil and gas mafia to freely seek profits through imports by the mechanisms that do not fit the principles of justice. The other reason, he said, related to efficiency efforts that would be obtained through the dissolution of Pertamina's subsidiary that operates in Singapore. According to Sudirman, Petrol's dissolution will provide space for Pertamina to improve governance in the future. The dissolution is done not only on Petrol alone, but also its subsidiary, namely Pertamina Energy Services, or PES, which is based in Singapore, and the Jambesi Investments Limited, whose headquarters is in Hong Kong. Well, listener, that was Focus.
Welcome back, listener. Here is news in brief. Energy and Mineral Resources Minister Sudirman Said affirmed that President Joko Widodo had agreed with Indonesia's plan to rejoin the Organization of the Petroleum Exporting Countries, OPEC. Indonesian flagship airline PT Garuda Indonesia has booked profits worth 161 billion rupiah, or around 12.4 million US dollars, on the first quarter of 2015. Vice President Yusuf Kalla celebrated his 73rd birthday at his daughter's house in Golders Green, London, England. Meanwhile, during an official visit to London, Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla met with CEOs of leading companies in England, including Jardine Matheson, Standard Chartered, and Olam International at the Asia's House on Thursday, May 14, 2015. Secretary of Coordinating Ministry of Maritime Affairs Asep Jambar Muhammad said that his ministry is coordinating a research on algae as resource for renewable energy. The Islamic University of Indonesia, Yogyakarta, held Japanese shadow puppet show as a part of culture education in the campus. Some 648 refugees from Bangladesh and Myanmar, whose ship was stranded off the coast of Aceh, have been temporarily sheltered at the port of Langsa at Langsa City on Friday. A strong earthquake measuring 6.1 on the Richter scale shook Bengkulu at dawn on Saturday, reportedly causing no damage or fatalities. Listener, that was News in Brief over at World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuku Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet
at en.voi.co.id. You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? 9. Please write your opinion in brief about Indonesia in 500 words. Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, as well as arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. In today's edition, I will introduce you to Jakat Beach in Bengkulu Province. Stay tuned. Listener, Bengkulu Province is located in the west of Sumatra Island, which is bordered by 4 provinces, namely West Sumatra, Jambi, South Sumatra, and Lampung. Bengkulu Province is rich with cultural heritage as acculturations of indigenous and coastal culture. In the past, Bengkulu has been prestigious territory, which has been competed since Hindu-Buddha culture era until modern colonial era by the Dutch and Britain. One of Bengkulu exotic attractions is Jakat Beach. The beach, which is located around 1 km from Bengkulu City, has amazing scenery. Although its location faces Indian Ocean, the waves at this beach is quite calm and has flat beach, which makes you want to play directly at the beach. At this beach, you can also witness beautiful sunrise and sunset, feel cool wind, and hear the rhythm of harmonious sounds of waves. It makes you want to stay at the beach longer. Geographically and topographically, Jagat Coast directly faces with the Indian Ocean and has Hilly Underwater Park. It preserves the beauty and habitat balance around the beach. Fish commodity potentials becomes the main income of local people. Another economic activity is seafood culinary. At Jagat Beach, you can also enjoy typical culinary such as roasted corn, roasted banana, young coconut ice, and many other food which is able to shake your tongue. Bengkulu Regional Administration has reconstructed buildings surrounding the beach well. It has also completed the safety facility. If you love swimming, do not have to worry, because this beach has complete facility. At the beach, there is wide and clean parking lot which is completed with efficient and environmentally friendly lighting. This lighting makes situations at the beach more beautiful at night. If you want to see golden sky, you can come to the beach at dawn or nightfall. The golden light becomes attraction for tourists and photographers who always hunt spectacular nature. Listener, if you are interested in seeing the beauty of Jagat Beach, please come to Bengkulu and enjoy the amazing marine tourism of Jagat Beach. We are sure you will be able to get new spirit and get rid of your fatigue. That was our segment Indonesian Wonderful today, featuring Jagat Beach in Bengkulu Province. We meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. I'm Nika Kusmawati. Thank you for listening in. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information. This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, custom and traditions, technology and environment, even lifestyle. Today's edition will be discussing the remnants of the ancient Mataram Kingdom. In the 8th century in the hinterland of Central Java, there was the Hindu Mataram Kingdom founded by King Sanjaya. During the 9th century, it was then moved to East Java. The kings of Mataram left many historical evidence such as inscriptions spread all over Central and East Java. They also built many temples with both Hindus and Buddhist styles. The center of the ancient Mataram Kingdom in its early years is estimated to lie in the Mataram area near Yogyakarta today. In general, historians say that there were three dynasties that ruled in the kingdom, namely Sanjaya and Shailendra dynasties in Central Java period and Wangsa Isyana in East Java. Wangsa Sanjaya refers to the name of the first king of Medang, that is Sanjaya. The dynasty was known to embrace Siva Hinduism. According to Bose, a historian, the names of the kings of Mataram found in the Mantya Sikh inscriptions were entirely members of the house of Sanjaya. But an Indonesian historian, Slamet Mulyana, argued that the names were the list of the kings who had ruled in Mataram and not of Sanjaya dynasty. After Rakai Mataram Sang Ratu Sanjaya died, he was succeeded by his son named Sangkara, whose title is Rakai Panangkaran Dyah Songkara Sri Sanggrama Danjaya. King Panangkaran, for short, was more progressive and thoughtful than Sanjaya, so ancient Mataram grew faster.
Areas around the ancient Mataram were soon conquered, such as Galuh Kingdom in West Java and the Malay Kingdom in the Malay Peninsula. Evidence of the Kingdom of Mataram history can be seen through inscriptions and temples that can still be found today. Based on remnants dated from the 8th and 9th century BC, temples with Hindu patterns were located in the northern part of central Java, and those with Buddhist patterns were located in the southern part of central Java. Both dynasties were finally united with the marriage of Rakai Pikatan with Pramudiawardhani, who was titled Sri Kahulunan. Although the religious practices consist of Hinduism and Buddhism, people of the ancient Mataram remained living in harmony and mutual tolerance. The attitude was evidenced when they worked together in building the great Borobudur Buddhist temple. One of the important events in the history of Mataram is Mahapralaya, which is the destruction of the Mataram Palace in East Java, as stated in Puchangan inscription. The occurrence here of the event cannot be read clearly, so there were two versions related to this. Some historians said Medang Empire collapsed in 1006, while others said in 1016. 3 years after the collapse of the Hindu Mataram Empire, a descendant of a Jawa Bali king named Erlangga built an empire. The kingdom is called Kahuripan, said to be the successor to the Hindu Mataram kingdom. Well, that was Mr. Lenny today, informing you about the remnants of Mataram Hindu kingdom glories. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? 9. Please write your opinion in brief about Indonesia in 500 words. Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with Vinuka in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, in conjunction with Islamic event, Isra Miraj of Prophet Muhammad, we will present Islamic religious songs presented by some Indonesian singers. To initiate Music Corner for today, let's listen to a song from Yunisara entitled Tuhan Jagakan Dia, where in English means, God please take care of him. Listener, you have just listened to the first song from Yunisara. The second song will be sung by Bunga Citra Lestari. The singer, who is popularly called PC Yang, is known with her hit song entitled Cinta Pertama, or The First Love. This time, PC Yang will sing a song entitled Kuasamu, or Your Power. Enjoy the song. Listener, that was the second song from Bunga Citra Lestari entitled Kuasamu. The next religious song will be presented by Dadali Band entitled Berikanlah Ampunanmu, or in English means Please Give Me Your Mercy. Listener, Dadali is a Sundanese language means eagle. This band took this name because this band wants to flap their wings as wide as possible. Under Nagaswara's label, Dadali directly skyrocketed in Indonesian music world with their single entitled Di Saat Aku Mencintaimu, or in English means When I Love You. The band, which comes from Bogor, West Java, has been established since 2009. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Berikanlah Ampunanmu, or Please Give Me Your Mercy, by Dadali Band.
Mm-hmm. aku hambamu yang penuh dosa. Seringku lupakanmu jauh darimu. Gelapnya hati gelisahkanku, semakin ku terlarut dalam hilafku. Tanpamu ku tersesat, hilang tak berarah, tak ada tujuan. Air mata dalam penyesalan, sungguh ku malu kepadamu Tuhan. Berikanlah aku ampunanmu, hanya padamu aku berharap. Berikanlah aku cahayamu menuju jalanmu, menuju ridomu.
For the last song, we have one beautiful song entitled Cahaya Hati by The Massive. The Massive is a band from Jakarta which consists of 5 personnel, namely Rian Eki Pradipta as a vocalist, Twiki Aditya Marsal as a guitarist, Nurul Damar Ramadan as a guitarist, Rai Kurniawan Iskandar Dinata as a bassist, and Wahyu Piaji as a drummer. This band was established on March 3, 2003. Well, listener, here is Cahaya Hati or The Light of Heart by The Massive. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Air mataku deras mengalir, ku bersimpuh di hadapmu. Namamu selalu ada di dalam setiap setiap langkah-langkahku. Ya Tuhan, tuntun hamba agar tetap di jalan-Mu.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id. Or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.